Welcome to another edition of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. Now, while everyone seems to be talking about how much tax Google pay, which is a point, wait a minute, I'll just maybe not. It didn't take long in 2016 for the words nanny state to hit the headlines. Guidance on alcohol consumption did the trick, as doctors suggested the weekly limit should be reduced to 14 units a week. Headlines such as Killjoy new rules about how much booze is safe, and my particular favourite, Farage wants you to go out for a drink in protest of new alcohol guidelines. Interesting one, that. They were quick to appear anyway. I'm not too sure about the grammar on that last one while we're on it, but I think we get the idea. None of this, of course, is news to public health professionals. The health and safety of food police were common descriptions when I was an EHO in the district. It's a difficult line to tread between forcing people to take a certain course of action and nudging them in the right direction. One school of thought is, if you give someone all the available evidence, they'll make a logical decision. Mr. Farage, for instance, might be more amenable to the idea if he fully realised the cost of alcohol to society, if he doesn't already know. The Institute of Alcohol Studies put it at $3.5 billion to the NHS, $11 billion in alcohol-related crime and $7.3 billion in lost productivity, and then told us there were loads and loads more social costs that you couldn't calculate. Those are figures that most people would find it hard to ignore, I guess. The problem is, how do health professionals get the message across without taking the role of an overprotective parent? There'll always be that section of society who are unimpressed, whatever you do. The evidence on the dangers of smoking are no longer questioned. If you smoke, you're 15 times more likely to develop lung cancer compared to non-smokers. But in the light of that, still 19% of UK adults smoked in 2013. I'm sure a lot of those people have stories of Great Uncle Bert or Great Auntie Ethel who smoked 50 a day and still lived to be 103, which perhaps illustrates our general lack of knowledge about risk. To take another example, if you're exposed to asbestos, you are 77% more likely to develop lung cancer than the general population. It's rare to find someone, although I've met a few to be honest, who are willing to ignore that type of risk. I appreciate that the two cases are not exactly equitable. Smoking generally is an individual choice. Asbestos exposure usually occurs in some form of occupational setting where workers often have no choice. So how do we go about turning from nanny state into Mary Poppins? I suppose one area is ensuring that research is carried out accurately, and perhaps even more vital, advice is consistent. One of the major gripes about the alcohol guidelines was an initial level of 21 units was suddenly reduced to 14, leaving parts and the media to question the validity of the original research. The other phrase the public seem particularly adverse to is, there's no safe level. True as it may be, there is also no guarantee that you'll make it to the other side of the road, or the end of this podcast for that matter, or won't be struck by lightning. The latter is one of those measures of risk everyone seems to understand, being regularly used in the media, telling us things like, the chance of winning the national lottery is the same as being struck by lightning four times in a row. Compared to the whole population, very few people know a main prize lottery winner, but the majority, well, unfortunately, know someone who's healthy. Issues can be related to a lifestyle activity, such as alcohol or smoking. So perhaps that's an appropriate place to start. I was interested to learn that a study by scientists from Plymouth University has found lead levels up to 40 times the recommended limit in the survey of children's playground equipment. The study, which has been published in the journal Science of the Total Environment, concluded that levels could pose a significant risk to young children. Researchers tested the levels of lead in paint on playground equipment at 50 sites across Cornwall, Devon, Hampshire and Somerset, taking 242 samples. Guidelines drawn up by the World Health Organization as way back as 1977 recommend that playground equipment paint should contain no more than 0.25% lead. The study, however, found levels of 10% at one site in Plymouth, which was constructed in 2009. The highest concentration of lead were generally found in yellow and red paints. My interest dates back to North London in the early 80s, when one of my first jobs as a student EHP was to work on an environmental lead survey that included, yes, you've guessed it, taking paint samples from playground equipment. At the time, we found some playground equipment that contained a specification for paint, would you believe, used by the MOD on tanks. Thankfully, all that was replaced, but obviously the problem goes on in other parts of the country. Despite the fact that new UK food business numbers increased by 6.7% in the last 5 years, and while customer complaints have seen a 9.3% rise over the same period, the number of local authority officers employed in food safety has decreased rapidly by 17%, with only 2,303 full-time equivalent staff now employed. Local government cutbacks have been the major reason for the reduction, and the Food Standards Agency are getting worried. Their latest figures show that seven authorities were not even carrying out regular inspections of their highest risk premises. To put that into context, in one borough where I worked, we had less than 10 premises that fell into the highest risk category A. The FSA are themselves under budgetary pressure, having already announced a £6 million cuts programme. In order to make up some of the deficit, they're pressing ahead with plans to recover the costs of regulation from food businesses. An overhaul of the official control system could see poor performing businesses expected to pay more than those with better safety records. Finally this week, the World Health Organization are the latest body to call for the introduction of a sugar tax to try to address childhood obesity. A new report presented by the Commission on Ending Childhood Obesity says there is strong evidence that the introduction of a tax, along with other measures such as reducing portion sizes and clearer food labelling, would be a success. It remains to be seen if the news will have any influence on MPs who are due to publish the long-awaited child obesity strategy next month. Also backing proposals for a tax, saw Jamie Oliver, whose internet petition gathered 150,000 signatures, and NHS chiefs who have plans to introduce their own 20% tax in hospital cafes. It's expected the NHS levy, which would initially only apply to sugary drinks, could raise 20 to 40 million in a year. With many children consuming three times the recommended limit, sources of sugar include soft drinks, confectionery, fruit juice, biscuits, cakes, pastries, puddings, and breakfast cereals. That's a lot off the menu, isn't it? And then another childhood myth ended. No Santa Claus, no Tooth Fairy, and now even Mary Poppins is wrong. See you in a fortnight.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap! The job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece. Sugar helps the medicine go down, medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
I'm a public health professional, get me out of here is written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorized reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way. Pick it up, boys. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Medicine go down. Sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way, even faster. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine.